Let's welcome those who are joining us. Thank you so much for joining us this morning. We're so glad you're here. And this is part 9 of a Kingdom Heroes series. And it was my heart, and I'm just describing to you, it was my heart to talk about. I did a little bit of a sermon on David and Elijah, and I was going to Daniel. There's so many heroes of faith in the Scripture. I began to realize the more I studied, the longer it got. And I began to realize, you know, I could do a whole series on David. I could do a whole series on Elijah and on Daniel. And it just hit me, okay, I will. I'll let those be their own series in the future. Done a little work on them. So excited about it. So what I'm telling you is I could preach on this for years. And so to kind of expedite some other things that the Lord wants to do in the body and in your heart, in my heart, I'm going to end up this series, and you know what? I haven't been able to get very far from Caleb. That's okay. I've had pastors tell me that, you know, I didn't know so much was in the Bible about Caleb. Well, it's just a few verses, but it's punched with power, okay? And it speaks to me a lot. I guess you can tell that. This is the 9th sermon. But, you know, we're going to kind of wrap up this today, and we're going to do a few things on Christmas here in the next few weeks, and a kickoff at the first of the year, and then we're going to get on to some other series. But this has ministered so much to me, and I want to kind of wrap this up with a wisdom key. What is the secret to Kingdom Heroes? Because even though they were heroes in the kingdom, they may have had, you know, different giftings and different strengths, but I'm just announcing to you, it was not about their strengths and it was not about their giftings. It was about their God. That's the common denominator. Now, that ought to encourage you because we have the same God. And I'm announcing to you, and the Holy Spirit likes to say this, what God's done with others, He can do with you. What God's done for others, He can do for you. And not only can, He wants to. There's big want to with the Lord to be interactive with your life and to show Himself special and mighty in your life. And you know, you're not just the average Jane Doe or Bubba Joe or whatever. No, no, you belong to God. And He's got a divine purpose for you, a kingdom purpose for you. That's for you. That's got your name on it. And He actually wrote this down, His dream for you. He wrote that down before you were ever even born. Before your mom and daddy ever thought of you or even thought of each other. He wrote it down. And He's got a plan for you. And so part of the joy in this journey is getting to know Him and to receive that dream seed from Him and finding His will for our life and His purpose for our life. And so I'm so excited about you. And I want you to catch this wisdom key because this fits for all of us. Sometimes when the church every year around Christmas loves on me, and boy, it's just really precious. They give me, it's green, and I like to say it like this, it's my size and it fits, okay? And it's very special. It allows me to love on the beautiful blonde and it's really precious. But what I want to say to you is that this wisdom key that I want you to catch, and I think the Holy Spirit wants you to catch this morning, it's your size and it fits. It's your color and it fits. And so we want you to leave wearing this, all right? And so let's go back and look at Caleb. You know, without a doubt, he's a fearless one. Without fear. Faith, not fear. That's a big deal today. It's a big deal every day. Faith, not fear. He was fearless. He was decisive. He was not one of those believers that are tossed to and fro, that are caught between two decisions, that today they feel like this and tomorrow they feel like that. No, 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 no. He was decisive. And the rabbis would say that he had chutzpah. I can't kind of growl like they do. I've tried practicing. It just don't come out right. Chutzpah. They're laughing at me now. You are too. But more than the way it's pronounced in Hebrew is the way it described. It means over the top confidence. Is that good? You know what it means? Holy boldness. Well, we could stand a dose of that. Holy backbone. There's one word that shows up in all the description. It's audacity. The audacity to believe God and step out on God, on what God says. I love that. Scriptures show us that Caleb was a man and a leader full of faith. He had solid confidence in God. He had that fierce tenacity and that relentless zeal. He had that zeal for God to possess all that the Lord had given him. Now I want to tell you, Scripture points to this, and it's not just for him. It's for us, because Scripture talks about that great are the exploits of those who know their God. And so knowing your God well and doing great things with God and for God, they go hand in hand. Now there's a difference between professing the promised land, professing his mountain, because God had given him the mountain. God had told all the people of Israel that this is your promised land. It is yours. But there's a difference between professing it and possessing it. Do you see that? Oh, we see this today, because there's a difference between a lot of Christians, a lot of churchgoers that profess Jesus and possess him. There's a difference. We heard it this morning in the huddle with the leadership. Not everybody that calls me Lord, Lord shall enter the kingdom of heaven. And so there's a difference between a professor and a possessor. Which one are you? This man did not have a quick possession of his mountain. I know, and I have compassion for people that wait years and years for their promise to be fulfilled. I got compassion for that. But I got to encourage you on something, that Jesus is not finished yet. And it's not over till it's over. As a matter of fact, I don't know how long you've been waiting. Caleb waited 4 decades. And there's never a hint that he turned back on the promise. Wow. He had a wilderness experience for 4 decades. How long has your wilderness been? His faith, hope, and strength never quit through all that time in the wilderness. Now let me encourage you a little bit on something, because we are in the last days. And in the last days, there's going to be an exponential increase in the ministry of the kingdom of God. I really believe that. I believe that the bride of Jesus Christ is going out with a shout and not a pout. You know? And God's doing something in our midst already. And we're seeing it not just here, but across the globe. God's doing some amazing things. And there's great things that are being expedited that at one time in the kingdom of God, it seemed like took decades, and now it's taking months. There's an increase. I want you to know we get to be a part of the increase in the end times, in the last days. And so this is very, very exciting. A great outpouring of his spirit is taking place. Greater volume. Last days. I'm saying to you, let's get ready for super harvest. God's going to use you. Now, at 85 years of age, so don't dare say you're too old or your time's past. At 85 years of age, Caleb took out giants and conquered fortified cities and possessed the mountain that God had promised him. If we could ask Caleb, you see, I kind of had this thought pattern that, you know, we would love to have Caleb here this morning and just interview him. Wouldn't you love that? What's the wisdom key, Caleb? What's the key? What's the wisdom key to conquering giants and claiming your mountain? Well, I think what he would say is, well, it's in the Word of God. I've already said it in the Word of God. I can't say it better than God says it in his Word. So Joshua 14, 7 and 8 gives us a clue to what he would say. It says this, 40 years old was I when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me to Kadesh Barnea to scout out the land, and I brought him a report. Look at this, be careful now, as it was in my heart. Okay, that's a key. That's part of it. What's your heart saying? How's your heart with the Lord? How's your love life with the Lord? Because his relationship with God gave him a God view of the promised land. And the God view of your promised land is faith. Now, look at verse 8. But my brethren, 10 of the 12, not counting Joshua, but 10 of the 12, but my brethren who went up with me made the hearts of the people melt. Why did they make the heart of the people melt? It's because they reflected in their heart fear. They didn't have a God view of the promised land. They had a lack of a relationship with God, so they gave a world view of the promised land. They gave a human view of the promised land. And mark this down and understand that a world view and a human view always ends up in the same place, fear. Catch this. This was Caleb and Joshua, two of the 12. His faith was simply a result of him following the Lord. Oh, come on, Brother Tim. Give us something a little more deep. Give us something that we have to reach for. Give us something we have to grunt for. No, no, no. This way, it's God doing it. You see? The praise goes to God. He's the key. And it has to do with Caleb's heart toward God. His faith, the description of his faith, he would say, well, I just simply followed the Lord. Well, it just seems too simple. Give us something else. We could do that in children's church. Maybe that's the way God designed it. Is it possible that the Jesus life was made so simple that we can miss by human reasoning? Nearly got knocked down with amens on that. It almost seems too simple, but maybe that's where the Lord wants it. All Caleb did, this is what Caleb did. He came back and gave an honest report. Somebody say truth about what he saw. Somebody say blessings and what he believed about God, the God that he knew. That's the key. How well do you know God? Because that determines how you view. Whether you see blessings or curses, whether you see the human view or God's view, it makes a difference. Where's your heart? Because Caleb shared what he knew about what God had said and what he knew about who God was. Caleb gives us a wisdom key to victory, for our victory. He said this, honestly, I'm just a guy who follows the Lord with all my heart. Now see this, the spirit of faith that we so admire and esteem in Caleb was to him nothing more than a byproduct of his intimate walk with the Lord. And there's a little word that Caleb uses in the scripture that makes a heaven of a lot of difference. Okay? And it goes like this, the Lord my God. Do you see that? Let's just repeat that together. The Lord my God. Wow. Now see, that's easy for us to overlook. But to God, it's not minor, it's major. What does he say about our heart? You see, because the Bible says that it's real possible for man not to even know our own heart. That the heart is so deceitful. But I want to tell you, God knows. That's why David showed us what to do. God, show me my heart. Wow. You may have overlooked that, but it's major. This reveals, you know what it reveals? A close and personal relationship that Caleb had with the Lord. His relationship with his God produced a God view, a God perspective, and this ignited his faith. There's three times the Bible records that Caleb wholeheartedly followed the Lord, and that was the issue of his faith. Joshua 14:8. This is what Caleb confessed. But my brethren who went up with me made the hearts of the people melt. Yet I wholly followed the Lord my God. Would you be willing, are you willing, to follow the Lord your God wholeheartedly if no one else is? Joshua 14:9, Moses affirmed it. You see, I want to tell you, if you love the Lord with all your heart, if you follow the Lord with all your heart, you're not going to have to get on the book of faith and try to convince people about it. I want to tell you, people sense it. It's more caught than taught. They see it. They know it. They understand that there's something real with you than what other people, even though they're saying the right words, they're not walking the same walk. But that walk will cause people to listen to your words. Joshua 14:9, Moses affirmed it. Surely the land on which your feet have walked shall be your inheritance to you and to your children always. Wow, that ought to encourage us to walk wholly after the Lord. Because your walk with God doesn't just affect you. It affects those who follow after you. Because you've wholly followed the Lord my God. Numbers 14:24. God said Caleb had a different spirit. Boy, I love this. See, there ought to be a little question. Well, how would the Lord describe us? Because He knows. It's not what other people would say. What does heaven say about us? But my servant Caleb, because he has a different spirit and has followed me fully, I will bring into the land to which he went, and his descendants shall what? Possess it. Profess it or possess it? It's good to profess it, but in our professing, he wants us to possess it. This ought to give us some hope. I'm telling you, everyone listening ought to have your ears perked up. Caleb's unstoppable faith was the byproduct or the result of following the Lord. This is something all of us, I want to tell you, by God's grace, this is New Testament, by God's grace, we can participate in the plan God has for us. We see it in the New Testament, in the life of a man who had the same spirit. See, I see him having the same spirit of following the Lord, and it's the Apostle John. John followed Jesus from the start of his earthly ministry and was right beside him to witness every miracle he performed. Not only did John follow Jesus during his life, but get this now, you may not have noticed this before, but he also followed Jesus all the way to his death. And he was the only man there. Rest of them scattered. There were some women there, thank God. This was John. He stood at the foot of the cross. Listen to me. Still wholeheartedly following his Lord to the very end. And so, you know what? We ought to interview John. Wouldn't you like to have John here? Hey, John, what's the wisdom key to your victory? How you followed the Lord? I really believe he would say something like this. Well, honestly, it's just not a struggle for me. I just don't have this tug of war that other people testify about. I just know. Why is that, John? I don't know how to explain it, but I just know. Listen to John. I just know that I know that I know that I'm the disciple who Jesus loved. Simple. Listen to me. Childlike. Don't make this deep and unknowable. I'm telling you, Jesus puts it on an elementary plate for all of us to enjoy. Hey, the disciple whom Jesus loved. John affectionately refers to himself with these very words, not just once, not twice, but five times in the Gospel of John. This is why I'm saying to you that he knew that he knew that he knew that he was loved by Jesus. Let's take a little peek, because I don't have time to go through all of it. Let's take a little peek at the last time John used this phrase to describe himself. Because I want to tell you, this doesn't show up in other Gospels. It's only in John, and he's describing it himself. This is personal revelation. And so look at the last time he mentioned this is in John 21. And I know that you probably recognize this scripture, but it's where Jesus is having a heart-to-heart with Peter. Okay? And he said this to indicate what kind of death Peter would glorify God. And after this, he said to him, here it is. The way to get to the end from here. And this speaks to all of us. You say, well, I may have stumbled here. I may have fouled up. I may have messed up my chair. I went through this and I went through that. Listen to me. What Jesus is saying, the way to get from here to there is to follow me today. Verse 20. Jesus said to him, follow me. Verse 20. And Peter turned. And I guess the kitchen was getting a little hot. Peter turned and saw the disciple. This is the way John described himself. The disciple whom Jesus loved. Let's look at what the disciple that Jesus loved was doing. Following. Let's all say following. You see, Jesus didn't have to tell John, follow me. John was already following him as a way of life. This is the same one, John's describing himself, and I love the way one of our pastors, Pastor Don, describes this. This is the same one who was so knew he was so loved by Jesus that he sat in Jesus' lap. Oh, I love that. And he said, Lord, you know, he was asking, they were wanting to know who's going to betray. And Jesus said to Peter, follow me. And so Peter turns around and saw the disciple whom Jesus loved. And that disciple was following. See, John didn't need to be told. He was already following him. And the wisdom key, listen to this. The wisdom key to John's life of victory, the reason John was so conscious of Jesus' love for him was because he was following him. His following him was a love response. He wasn't doing it to follow a rule or regulation. It was a response of love. Effortless change, not a grunting change, not a tug of war change, not a conscious effort. It was a reaction or a response of love. We love him because he first loves on us. It's a response of love. So listen, let's just, because I've done preaching on this before, but let me just ask, thank you for listening, but listen to this. Was John really the Lord's favorite among 12 disciples? Do you actually think that he treated John differently than others? Do you think that he loved on him more than others? Do you think that Jesus loved Judas any differently than he loved the others? No. But I want to tell you something. John was more conscious. Let's say that again. John was more conscious of the Lord's love. And he practiced receiving it more than the rest. Do you see that? Listen, this is important because this is something all of us can do. I believe John practiced receiving the Lord's love more and was convinced. That's where we're supposed to be. As a matter of fact, you'll find out in your Christian journey, even though you get dreams and desires for the Lord, it's amazing how many times those dreams get sidetracked. When you're convinced by the enemy that God doesn't love you. This phrase, the disciple whom Jesus loved, it's only in John's gospel, nowhere else. It's clear to me. I want it to be clear to you that John had a deep, Caleb had it. John had a deep personal revelation that Jesus really, really, really loved him. He didn't just know it, he believed it. And he spoke it, and he believed it, and he acted on it. That sounds like Christianity. He was conscious of that love. John and Caleb, you and I, all of us can follow Jesus. We have the Holy Spirit here as a helper. Regardless of situations, I know sometimes Our situations seem to contradict, and sometimes it seems like the lack of what's going on, the enemy may throw stones at that and say, see, God doesn't love you. If God loved you, this wouldn't have happened, or this would be happening. But I want to tell you, hey, when we embrace this wisdom key, when we get to know in deeper ways, in the deepest part of our beings, that the Lord loves us, it settles a lot. No matter what happens, God loves me. Whatever happens to my horse, God loves me. No matter who says what, God loves me. No matter if they vote what, God loves me. No matter what my banker says, God loves me. Do you see that? That makes a big difference. So let's embrace this wisdom key. You know what? Paul would tell us the same thing. That his goal in life, his primary goal, was to get to know Jesus better and to get to know his love life in deeper ways. Because that's the key. The whole kingdom operates out of love. Everything that God does in and through your life is based on love, or it doesn't happen. Caleb and John's faith never failed, even when it looked like things were falling apart, because their journey was fueled by the Lord's unfailing love. You know, his love is described as unfailing. You need to say to yourself in the name of Jesus, his love never fails me. Why? Because the Bible tells me so. Hey, William Bradbury, 1862, wrote this little song. Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so. And what's so precious about the Lord? He'll say it to you through the Word, and he'll say it to you through the Spirit, and it'll have your name on it. That's what you need to hear. You need to hear often and continually that Jesus loves you with your name on it. That's what he wants. You say, well, Brother Tim, that's for children. No, 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 no. It's for teens. No, no, no. It's for adults. It's for grandparents. It's for great-grandparents. It's for every human, because that's why he came, because he so loved. And what he wants more than anything else is for you to be so loved by him. This is the wisdom key. This truth, this deep and continual revelation an application that Jesus loves you. This is the wisdom key to being a follower of Christ, to being a hero in the kingdom. This is the answer for the last days. I'll tell you what. The world has seen churches, and they've seen religion, and they have not been completely affected. But I want to tell you, when they see Jesus, they're affected. When they see Jesus, the same result of Jesus walking around on this earth happens today. They come to where Jesus is. They want to hear what Jesus has to say. They want to see the loving kindness of Jesus. It's the love of Jesus in and through you that convinces them that he's real right now. This is the answer. The world needs to see. Oh man, it sounds funny to say. But the world needs to see believing believers. Loved believers that know they're loved are believing believers. We're living here to show the world that the difference that Jesus makes. Man, I understand that folk in churches have the same problems as church people outside of churches. I know that because we're human and we live in a fallen world. But let me tell you what the difference is, how we respond to those. What our words, if our words are the same as what they're saying, something's missing. If our actions are the same as their actions, something's missing. If we have the same attitude, the world, something's missing. The world needs to see the effect, the dynamic effect of the power of His love. And the world needs to hear words of His love. They need to see the attitudes of His love. You know what the world really needs to see? They need to see Jesus with skin on. That's you and I. We got to walk in His love. We got to be anchored, right? You know what love does? Love anchors you into the faithfulness of God. That even when you don't see something with your eyes or hear it with your ears or feel it with your feelings, you know God's faithful. You're convinced because God loves me. Wow. He's reliable. His word is ever true. And listen, this is a big difference between what the world recognizes as Christians who only believe God when things are going good. Who only believe God when things look successful to the world. Who only believe and praise God when they're feeling good. It's a big difference. The Bible tells us in Galatians 5:6 that faith is energized. Would you get this? Energized through love. Look at this together, Galatians 5:6. For if we are in Christ Jesus, and if you know Christ, you're in Christ Jesus. And it doesn't have anything to do with rules and regulations. It's not circumcision or uncircumcision that counts for anything. That doesn't even matter. What matters now is the circumcision of the heart. It's the heart relationship. It's relationship. It's not rules and regulations. Only faith activated. Do you see this? Only faith activated. And only faith energized. And only faith expressed. Well, what's the key to all of this in faith? It's through His love. His love activates, energizes, and expresses your faith. Let me be crystal clear. Your faith doesn't work without His love. If you're not in the love lane, listen to me. If you're not walking in the love lane with God and with people, I want to tell you what, your faith is sabotaged. You can have all the right words. You can do all the right things. And you can do it loud. You can do it soft. You can do it often. But I want to tell you, if you're not walking in the love lane, your faith is sabotaged. Beloved, let us love one another. Hey, let me give you some hope right here. Every time you're in the Word and you're listening to a song and you're meditating on how much God loves you, and every time you catch a fresh revelation, catch a revelation of the Lord's love for you, that's why we stay close to the cross. It's the greatest expression of His love. But every time you catch a revelation of the Lord's love for you and His kindness towards you, listen to me, faith is activated. That's the result. And you know what? Your faith is activated without you trying to convince yourself to be that, without you trying to work up an emotion to have faith, or trying to convince yourself or work it out or convince others you have faith. It's activated in you. It's something God does. Wow. Boy, this is a little different. The blind beggar in Mark 10 cried out to Jesus. And you know what the Bible says, because we don't get to interview this blind beggar, but what it says is that he was believing in the mercy, His love and mercy of Jesus. Jesus healed the man. He's crying out for love and mercy, the love and mercy of Jesus. Jesus sees him in faith. Get this. He's appealing and crying out, love and mercy, love and mercy. Jesus sees faith. You understand? Hey, you know what Jesus said? Your faith has made you well. Hey, you know I love to talk about this amazing woman of faith. In Mark 5, she had suffered 12 years. But she heard reports that Jesus healed people. and that Jesus loved people. She heard about his words, heard about his works, and she pressed through the crowd to get to him. She believed, if I could just touch his garment, other people have touched his robe. Even the very hem of his robe and been healed. If I can just touch the hem of his robe, I'll receive the love and mercy. I'll receive love and grace. And she did. She touched his garment. She was healed. And listen to what Jesus said. Daughter, your faith has made you well. Wait. She was mercy. Grace. Love. Jesus saw faith. Do you see? This is not deep. I'm going to say it like this, and you don't have to even agree right now, but it'd be something for you to chew on and meditate on. Beloved, every time you see Jesus in his love and his grace, he sees you in your faith. Woo! Wow. You don't have to wave the faith flag. You don't have to beat yourself up by what religion says that you just don't have enough faith. No, you do have enough faith because you have the Jesus kind of faith inside of you. What we need to do is to be focused on his love for us. And when we're focused on his and meditate on his love for us, our love for him is the response. When we are captured by his love, and focused on his love, he sees us in our faith. You don't muscle up faith. I know there's tension on it. You got to muscle it up. You got to work it out. You got to build it up. You don't. I'm just encouraging you. Listen to me. Don't focus on making stronger faith. Okay? There is a sense, and I'm going to try to explain this real simple. There is a sense of a greater growing in the utilization of the faith we already have. Okay? That comes by revelation. That comes by growing in him. But it's not, there are some folk that just say, it's just all about faith. No, it's not all about faith. It's about the love of Jesus. But when we center in on the love of Jesus, he sees us in our faith. His love activates and energizes your faith. That's what Bible says. Let's go with Bible, even though the other words sound good. Even though we can get a good rah-rah out of it, and even we get all pumped up and pepped up and go try to muscle up our faith, I want to tell you something. Hey, when we try to do it by our own will and human strength, it fails. And you'll be one of those that have been crushed saying, well, it just didn't work for me. No, Jesus works for all of us. But he has a priority. Every time you see Jesus in his love, he sees you in your faith. Just seeing Jesus loving on you. You see, you focus on his love, not your love for him. If you focus on your love for him, you're going to be disappointed. No, that's not where we go. We focus on his love for us. Showing you his grace in every area of your need. Every area of your need. See, he's your loving, caring, protecting, providing shepherd. And the result, listen, the byproduct of receiving his love is the same faith that Caleb and John and any hero of faith experienced. Unstoppable faith from an unstoppable God. That rises up within you without your grunting. Rises up within you to take every mountain in this life. And that brings them honor and glory. It's the God of the heroes that makes a hero of faith. It's God. Hey, you know what we're saying? Is just let God be who he really is. He's your loving shepherd. And the most important thing that you can do today and every day is to let Jesus love on you, let Jesus love in you, and then you take time, see, to love him back with the love he's loved you with. And I want to tell you, hey, effortless change, transforming change takes place in us. And the next thing you know, you have hope, expectation of God's goodness for your life that you didn't have before. Because that's what love does. It's love, it's hope, and faith. And out of that love and that hope factor comes the faith factor. And he ignites it. He energizes it. He manifests it. It's not something we grunt up, it's something God does. Let's give God praise. Let's give him praise. Let there be praise in the house that, you know what? Jesus paid for everlasting life. He paid for abundant life. And he sent us a helper to help make it so. We don't make it so. He makes it so. There's some decisions to be made. There's some surrendering and submitting to be done. But I want to tell you something. Our part is to come to the place of resting in him where we're receiving. You see, it's not our achieving, it's our receiving. Jesus achieved on the cross so we could receive. Wow, is that beautiful? Let that loving shepherd love on you today. And you watch what God does as a result. Because this is the priority with the Lord. Let him love on you. Let's pray together. Father, thank you. Lord, the gospel is clear and it's simple. Thank you, Lord, that your word is clear and simple. Lord, we just renounce human reasoning. We renounce the religion. We renounce wrong teaching. And Lord, we want to simply know you, as Paul said, in deeper and clearer ways. We want to know greater depths of your love. So Lord Jesus, we submit and surrender to you, and we say yes to you, and we say, Lord, we want to be still and know that you're God and let you do what you want to do. You want to love on us. Thank you, Lord, for sweet koinonia, sweet communion, sweet fellowship in you. Thank you, Lord, that your love is the power of our faith. The power of your ministry in us, the life-changing that takes place in us and through us. And we give you praise. Lord, you receive honor and glory in Jesus' name. And all the people said, amen, amen and amen. Hey, the Lord loves to make it simple. He loves to love on us. Amen? All right. Well, I've been wanting to say that for a long time.